Nobody can support violence in the four northern states, but there are so many factors in Nigeria that could predispose a youth into the kind of actions we've seen. These people are attacking the institutions they consider oppressive institutions of the state, and that is significant.
Do you think it's being coordinated, or is it just a simultaneous outpouring of fundamentalist feeling?
No. I don't think it is simultaneous. It is coordinated. And if you look at the pattern of attack, it is not something simultaneous. They were attacking police stations. And in virtually all the states, this is what they tried to do. So it's a coordinated attack.
Why have Nigerian officials said they don't really know what's behind the group? Hasn't it been on their radar for a while, and did it come as a total surprise to them?
From what I have gathered, and from what even the president said, Nigerian security agencies have been monitoring them over a period of time. Somebody was telling me they've been monitoring them. But what is surprising is that they were able to launch the attack without any preemption on the part of the state. That is baffling, because if what they are saying is correct, they should have known that the attack was coming, especially in Bauchi. And I think even their leader was once arrested in Maiduguri and was released for further investigation. And so something is wrong. There's security failure here.
The group is known by its nickname, Nigerian Taliban. What can you tell us about the Boko Haram group and its objectives?
That is rubbish. People just use a word like that. They have not established any foreign links with the group. Secondly, because they are Muslims, people easily call them Taliban. And some of the things they said, according to their leader in an interview in one of the newspapers here, he said that they were opposed to democracy and at the same time opposed to the system of education. Now, I think the reporter didn't press him to explain what he meant by a system of education and democracy. If certainly he's opposed to the kind of democracy operating in Nigeria, many people will agree with him, even if the action is condemnable. Certainly there's no democracy. Elections are being rigged left, right, and center. If he's opposed to the system of education, I'm a teacher. I know there are so many things wrong with it. But I heard over the radio people in the press saying that they are opposed to Western education. But the interview he gave, he didn't, and they are opposed to people going to school. And so they call him Boko Haram. But I don't think the leader actually said that. So we have to investigate further. Many of them are educated. He himself is educated. Some have gone to universities, I understand, or higher institutions.
Well, given the public's disfavor with the use of violence, is there some sympathy with the idea that this is some sort of a generationally motivated thing where younger people are speaking up about the injustices in your society?
Yes. You see, they themselves have been very clever. In the past, they will attack people around them. But this time, they are not doing that. They are attacking the police, which is a symbol of oppression. That is my understanding of it. They attack the police. In Bauchi, they attack the police station. In Maiduguri, they did that. And so they are trying to separate and divide the police state institutions from the public. I think they know that by attacking people, they will erode whatever sympathy they may have. But when you discuss with people, even where they have condemned, they say, well, given the situation in Nigeria, we are not surprised that this kind of thing has happened.
There has also been a complaint that they are seeking a wider adoption of Sharia law. Why all of a sudden did the often used pretext come into play at this time?
Yes, well, you see, because they've consistently argued that the legal system is unjust in this country, there's a need for justice, leadership is very poor. That's why I said at the beginning that there are so many factors that could predispose the youth into this kind of activity. One, unemployment rate is very high. Go into any city and see the number of graduates from secondary school, universities, and go roaming around, loitering, doing nothing, and no job is forthcoming. No doubt about it. Secondly, there's too much concentration of wealth in few hands in this country, and they actually show it by the type of cars they drive, the houses they build, and the ostentation in the midst of poverty. There's no leadership, especially in those areas where the violence occurred. The leadership there is extremely poor. In Bauchi, in Maiduguri, and in Borno, in Yobe. And so it's easy to mobilize a mob or a group such as we've seen to wreak the kind of havoc they wrought on Bauchi, Atao, Maiduguri, Yobe, and to some extent Kano.
And what is the effect of Nigerian police's shoot-on-sight orders to enforce a curfew in the four hard-hit states? Is it keeping people off the streets, or have there been further incidents?
Yeah, in those states or towns where the curfew has been imposed, people have generally obeyed it. I've been calling people and the place is calm now, and apparently there is a curfew.
Have police succeeded in capturing the sect's leader at his home in Maiduguri?
I gathered that there's going to be a police military operation today. Even the president said it on national television a while ago, that there's going to be a coordinated action to dislodge them, and that the state will not condone this kind of activity anymore, wherever it occurs. I gathered that he is held in his house and surrounded by many of supporters. That is what the information filtering to us. It has not been easy to get through to Maiduguri since yesterday.
A third of Nigeria's 36 states, 12 states have already adopted Sharia in the past decade. What else do these fighters want to accomplish?
I don't know what they want to accomplish beyond what they've been saying, that people should return to God, should return to Allah. There should be justice. The educational system should be reorganized.
Nigeria's police chief says that more police have been mobilized from other parts of the country to be deployed in Maiduguri and the four states.
Yes.
What is the impact of that on the country in general?
I'm talking to you in Abuja. It's very calm. I left Kaduna this morning, Mazaria, and drove to Kaduna to Abuja. It's very calm. But what you could see is visible police presence. Because of what has happened in Kaduna, had happened in Kaduna in the last few years, you know, Kaduna also experienced violence. The governor was quick in taking action. And so they've stationed police in strategic locations. As you approach the city, you see police presence to prevent what has happened in Bauchi, Maiduguri, Damatu, and so on from happening in Kaduna. Because it spread to Kano, up to Wudil. The Kano borders Kaduna, and so the action taken by the state is aimed at actually preempting any eventuality.
And last November in Plateau State in the city of Jos, hundreds were killed in what was described as riots between predominantly Muslims and mainly Christian communities. How different is the nature of the violence in Borno, Kano, Yobe, and Bauchi?
In fact, what is interesting is that they tried to emphasize the fact that it is not sectarian violence. It has been given by the leader to one of the dailies in Nigeria. He kept on saying that, look, Muslims have lived with Christians peacefully. Their actions or activities is not against Christians and things like that. They know they are going to be attacked by the Nigerian police. And precisely because of that, they have also armed themselves. And that is what the Quran enjoins them to do. If you are going to be attacked, you prepare to defend yourself. And so they're taking up arms to defend themselves, knowing fully well that they are going to be attacked.
And does this increase their sympathy with the general public?
I think that is the intent, because if you talk to the people in the state, while they condemn the violence, and also the newspapers have reported them say that they are opposed to Western education, people don't support that. But at the same time, people say, well, we understand why these people would do that, because when you have an educated youth graduate roaming about in the street, no job, no direction whatsoever, we are not surprised that this kind of thing is happening in Nigeria. I've talked to so many people, and they end up saying exactly what I'm telling you. While they do not support them, at the same time, they seem to say, we understand why this kind of thing will continue happening in Nigeria. And so there are so many people. I mean, there's general disorientation in the country, and any smart guy with money, you know, can easily mobilize them against the state. And that is why it is significant that they keep on attacking police stations and government property.
Do you think that the country will survive and that this violence will come to a stop soon, or do you expect it to continue?
I think they will be able to control it. We've gone through what situations in Nigeria before. What is important is whether they will learn lessons from it. They should sit down and really find out why we keep on having things like this. What happened in Plateau State is totally different from what is happening now. What happened in Kaduna in the last few years is totally different from this. There's a new dimension here. These people are attacking the state. Institutions they consider oppressive institutions of the state. And that is significant.
Can we expect another Truth and Reconciliation Commission to investigate this, another investigative panel, as was done for the Jos situation?
Yeah, we have two panels set up, one by the federal government, one by the state government. Both of them have been engulfed in one form of crisis or the other. If you go by history or by the trend in Nigeria, when things like this happen, a panel of inquiry is set up either by the federal government or by the state. And I think this time the federal government will set up a panel, or they may decide to investigate it quietly and with a view to arriving at some understanding. But I think it is a very serious development which has to be studied seriously. It is not a sectarian violence. It's not a violence between Muslim and Christians. It's not also intra-Muslim conflict so far, to the extent that they have not attacked anybody other than state institutions like the police.
Because it's happening in so many different states at the same time, what are the jurisdictional implications of this happening across all the states? Does this mean that it's a federal issue primarily more than the state issue?
If it gets out of control, such as it has, the federal government can intervene, as it had in the past. In any case, the federal police and the army is actually involved in this, and certainly the federal government will want to get to the root of it.